This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Psalm 8 is becoming one of my favorite psalms. And it reads, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, and out of your mouth, out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. But when I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have made, set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with the glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, all the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How majestic is your name, Lord Jesus. How amazing are you, Lord, that in everything that we look at, your hand is visible. And Lord, this morning we want to bring our hallelujahs to you. We want to lift up our hands. We want to sing glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, it's because of you that we are here. It's because of your love for us that you are here. It's because of who you are. Father, may we honor you with our words, with our hearts, with our minds this morning, Lord Jesus. May we honor you in the way that we live. May we honor you in the way that we listen this morning. May we honor you by being obedient to the calling that you placed in our hearts. And Father, as we continue to read your word, to dig into your word and discover the amazing fruit and love and passion and example that you set, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that our hearts will align with your heart this morning. That our spirits will connect with your spirit, Lord God. That we can declare and we will seek no other God, but we seek you as the Lord of heavens, our Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your compassionate ear this morning and your compassionate heart. And that no matter where we are, this morning, we are before you because you chose us. And you have made us a little lower than the heavenly beings. And you gave us dominion because you love us and you chose us. Jesus' name. Amen. Right, good morning everyone. Well, it's again a privilege this morning to bring the word. And wow, it's been a journey for me as well, discovering amazing truths in God's word, and being able to share it with you this morning. And I'm going to start with something which is a bold statement, and it's not my own. That stirred my heart. That stirred the way I think. His name is Jay Carty. He's a UCFL basketball player. And he started with the following opener in his sermon. And he said, you know, nice people go to hell. Sure. And he says, the second thing I want to tell you this morning is that we value life more than we value the soul. So I went back and I YouTubed him and I did everything that I could to listen to the whole sermon. But what he said in the beginning impacted me tremendously. And it made me think. Hit me like a baseball bat between the eyes. Because if you think of these two statements, there's a lot of truth in it. It's harsh, it's bold, but it's the truth. It's easier for us to pray for someone in a mission setup or an outreach away from something that's close to us, someone that's close to us, rather than engaging in our workplace, in our sphere of immediate influence, and to really pray for somebody there. Because that will bring the uncomfortable. So I had to ask myself, in listening to these, why do I value life more than I value a soul? Is it a heart issue, or is it a priority for me? You see, each one of us will die one day. Can we agree to that? You guys with me? Each one of us will die one day. There's no escaping that. The world has created the me, myself, and I culture. And because we are in the world, we adapt to that. And we start living it. So we engage only with certain people. We engage only with certain things. And our sphere of influence includes only certain people. But yet, if I were to ask you this morning, do you love your neighbor? How many would say yes? Except maybe for last night if they had a big party or something. But you can get over that. So who would say that you love your neighbor? Okay, I've got 5, 6, 7, 8 hands. 10 maybe. Okay, let's try that again. So the rest of you, you don't like your neighbor, or you don't know them. Okay, I'll leave that with you. So if we say we love our neighbor, yet statistics show that less than 10% of people reach out and lead one person to Christ a year. Why is there a gap? And would we say that Scripture, or can we say, can we look in Scripture to see if there's an answer for it? So before we get to the Scripture part, I want you to take out, if you have your house keys with you, if you have your house keys, I've only got my other house keys are this bundle. So see, we've got a couple of house keys. So in your house keys, you will probably have a remote that opens the main gate. You will have a key that will open the steel fence before your door, and then you will have one that opens the door. So in listening to me today, I want you to remember the three keys or four keys that you have on your key ring. Because the next time that you walk into your house, there's going to be three words that you're going to remember today. And we're going to go through that. And every single step follows on to the next one. So keep in mind that when we read from the Word this morning, I want you to remember the key that you have in your hand. Because every time that you touch that key, this will be a reminder of what God is calling us to do, what God wants us to do. So without further ado, who's had the band What Would Jesus Do in their life somewhere along the line? Yes, I've had it. So it's this little thing in South Africa. It was a big, when I was in school, it was a big thing. And yes, and this week it really hit me. When I thought of that again, is what would Jesus do? And I said, okay, but we don't have that, so we've got keys. Each one of us has keys, so that's how we're going to make it practical. So let's go to Luke 19, verse 1 to 9. Or 10. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up. Otherwise, I've done you the privilege and have it on the back. Luke 19, verse 1 says, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree and to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to, and I want you to say with me, came to, everybody, came to, okay, remember that, came to the place, he looked up, next word, look, words, look up, okay, and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And the next one, stay, okay, say it, stay. So three words, or three groups, came to, looked up, stay. Okay, remember that. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be with a guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Powerful little story. And remember your keys, because it's the first one. What do we take out of this? Jesus noticed Zacchaeus. Okay? So if you get one thing or three things today, just get the highlighted words and you'll get further from there. So Jesus noticed Zacchaeus. See, and in spite of all the chaos and the distraction that went on around him, because you can imagine how many people surrounded Christ on that morning. The noise. He noticed Zacchaeus in the tree. And it poses a challenge to each one of us to say, has the Holy Spirit made you aware of somebody that you need to notice? Someone in need, somebody climbing a tree. And you see, because Jesus noticed Zacchaeus, he had a chance to be saved. His heart was for the lost. Jesus' heart was for the lost. He said in verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. See, we have an opportunity by allowing the Holy Spirit to help us visibly engage through the love of Christ to those around us. But Zacchaeus was a curious character. He was short in stature. So there's a reason why he climbed into the tree. He did this unconventional thing. Remember, he was a rich young man. He had influence. He traded, being a son of Abraham, being a Jew, he traded that for the riches of Rome and their empire, to become a chief tax collector. So he had a lot of people working under him. So for him to climb into a tree was a desperate measure. So there was curiosity on his part as well, which created the need. And then he climbed in a tree. And that gave the opportunity for Christ to notice him. But around us, we must also look, who's climbing the tree in unconventional ways so that we can notice them and give them a chance in salvation. But Zacchaeus wasn't the only person that Jesus noticed. If we look in Matthew 4, verse 18, in the New Living Translation, it says, one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Matthew 4:21, a little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers. Matthew 9, verse 9. And Jesus was walking along and he saw a man named Matthew. His eyes was fixed on what he could see. He wanted to notice people because he came for the lost, to seek them and to save them. So this wasn't an uncommon thing for Jesus. He called his disciples in the same way. He noticed them. But here's the next thing. So take out your second key. Jesus stopped at Zacchaeus. So firstly, is God placing somebody in your heart this morning that you need to notice? And secondly, when last did you have that stop moment? See, amidst the pressure of the crowd, Jesus stopped right there where Zacchaeus was in a tree. And this is the next key. As I said, he stopped. Noticing will not just help a person if we don't stop and see how we can engage. We can easily notice, but we can walk past. But if you don't stop, and here's the thing, not if, to see if we can engage, but to see how we can engage. I don't believe for one moment Jesus pondered if he should or shouldn't engage. He noticed, he stopped, and he called him out. See, the pressure of life and limited time in our lives creates these missed moments. But this time, Jesus was intentional. As we see in John 5, verse 6, he says, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked, would you like to get well? Intentional. Stop. In John 7, verse 6 to 15, Jesus replied, now it's not the right time for me to go, but you can go anytime. The world can't hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil. You go on. I'm not going to this festival because my time has not come yet. After saying these things, Jesus remained in Galilee. But after his brothers left him for the festival, Jesus also went, though secretly, staying out of the public view. So just get the picture here. This was a Jewish festival, and what happened here was the Pharisees was already looking for Jesus. But his time was not there yet for him to be captured. But in spite of that, in spite of the fact that he knew they were looking for him and they were plotting against him, he changed his schedule to go and teach at the synagogue. Verse 14 says, then midway through the festival, Jesus went up to the temple and began to teach. The people were surprised when they heard him. How does he know so much when he hasn't been trained? They asked. He changed his schedule. Do you need to adjust something? Do I need to adjust something in my current schedule? Because I've noticed and I need to stop to see how I can engage. Number three. Notice, stop. And the last one is communion. Jesus had communion with Zacchaeus. If we have made the time to stop, we can make the time to have communion. If you could change your mind in noticing somebody, stopping there, why can't you change your mind to engage further? We need to realize that this is also the only time in the accounts of all the Gospels where this is mentioned, that Jesus invited himself. A momentous moment that Luke recorded but one that is that has such great effect and impact on all of our lives because of what Jesus did here. He invited himself into a sinner's house. He set the bar up right there for me and you to get to. We can think of just one person that we need to notice, we need to stop, and we need to engage with. But if we think of that one, we think of one person, but what God comes and does, he changes that situation and he saves the whole family. Because that's what happened with Zacchaeus. He was the one that was noticed. He was the one that was desperate. But his whole household got saved that day. Not just him. His whole household. So what do we need to do to change our focus? To see, notice, stop for a moment. Jesus understood this so well because that's the way he made a way for us. He had to save us. He had to pay that price so that each one of us, all over the world can be saved. And that's why we are here today. We celebrate that. What will happen if we make more time to have communion with somebody in need? What change will that affect in our communities, in our surrounding areas? Visibly engaging is taking that step further. Exactly what Jesus did. It's taking it one step further. Taking responsibility for what you've seen. Taking responsibility for what you have, for what would the Lord has placed in your heart, what you've noticed. So I need to ask the question to myself, who haven't I noticed lately? Does God want me to stop more often? And is there someone around me in my life that deserves more than just the hello, the passing by? Who is crying out in an unconventional way that's in a tree desperately in need? And even not just, we're not talking about the desperateness, but we're talking about the curiosity as well. There's a lot of people that are curious about why we do what we do. Have you taken the time to spend time with them? You see, Jesus' action didn't just lead to the salvation of Zacchaeus, but his whole household stopped for one, and the whole household got saved. Could it be that the one that we overlook could lead us to more than what the eye can see? So what if we say to one another here today, how would Shofar Windhoek look in 1 year from now if I notice a bit more? What would Shofar Windhoek look like if we stop and change our schedules a bit more? What will Shofar Windhoek look, the community around us? How will that impact if we have more communion with them? And communion is not just the wine and the bread on a Sunday morning, on the first Sunday of the month. Communion is that in-depth, life-changing thoughts and ideas and exchanging of this amazing life that we live. It's life-changing stuff. Because that's what Christ did for us. Somebody once said, the church is the only organization that exists not for its members, but for those who are not members. Could our presence in a community make a change if we become more visible and more available? Three things. Notice, stop, engage, have communion. That's your three keys. Not difficult. You can color code them. I put key rings and color rings on it. But when you take your key the next time, what is it you're going to think of? When last did you stop or notice? And I said those three words in the beginning, or those three parts of this verse is, he looked up. He came to that place and he stayed. Notice, stop communion. And here's your challenge for the week. I want you to notice. Allow God to show you to notice one person. Just one. Just one. I want you to stop and spend time with that person. Just one. And I want you to engage further and have communion. Spend time with that person. Because it's not something that I pulled off the internet, but it's God's word. It's Jesus' example in our lives. And there's someone this morning in your life that God has laid on your heart. And I want us to take time this morning to pray for that person. If you look around you, you will notice that there are people that's not here this morning. Has the Lord laid that person on your heart lately? To notice. Change your schedule. Stop. Engage. Spend time. Change. Allow God to minister to one person to change the whole family. Who is that that's in your heart this morning? I want us to close our eyes. And if we can have the front lights. Thank you. I want you to ask the Lord this morning, who is it He wants you to notice? Can we just have the band as well? Some background music, please. So I just want you to do business with God this morning and just ask Him, Lord, who is it do you want me to notice this morning and this week? Who is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, placing on your heart that you need to go and stop? That I need to go and stop? How does He want you to engage? How does He want you to take that next step, one step further? And stay. Notice, stop, communion. Maybe you've had somebody on your heart and you've been disobedient by not stopping. I also want you to place that before the Lord. Who is it that God wants you to engage with this week? Spend time. And I'm not talking here just about the church people. I'm talking here about the lost, the unsaved. I'm talking here about the person that says, I am a Christian. But you don't see the fruit in his life. And here's the nice part. We don't condemn. We don't judge. We just want them to be invited back so that God can come and prune that fruit tree to bear the amazing fruit that he wants us to be. That he made us to be. And I want to challenge you that if that person is laid on your heart now, you've got a name. Maybe we can have some of the ushers just stand ready with some paper at the back there and a pen. You can write that person's name down. You can put it on the prayer wall because you're going to make a commitment to pray for that person. I sense there's one or two people here this morning and God is showing you a picture actually of yourself. God is showing you a picture of yourself. To say notice, stop, and engage. Are we going to trust that God will provide miraculous ways this week and open up doors for you to notice, to stop, to engage, to have communion? If you have the name but you don't know how to get there, it's an opportunity for you to come and lay it before God this morning. Let us pray with you. Let's use this opportunity to bring that people, bring those that we really feel God is laying on our hearts to the front. I want to pray with you. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you this morning for the example that you set, for the extra steps that you already took for us. Lord, ultimately paying the most dear price in our heart to save us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that today you've placed names and people in our hearts. Lord, help us as we depart from you, as we walk from you, Lord God, that we will not, these people will not go unnoticed this week. Help us to change schedules, Lord God, just to stop. Invite ourselves in. Thank you, Lord, that through your love that you've already poured out into our hearts, and we have the same love, Lord God, to reach out and through you set the captives free. Father, where we are, where we struggle with fear, I want to pray against that this morning, because we do not have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, of power and of self-control. And we declare that this morning. We walk in your authority, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that you are, that through our obedience, Lord God, you will break down the walls of Jericho around the people that needs to hear your heart and hear your voice. Father, you are worthy to be praised forever and a day. And thank you that your Spirit will guide us to speak. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.